Galaxy, a program unique, portraying information and events that may affect the lives of all people, even you.
In the year 1945, mankind upon the planet Earth succeeded in a step which, if carried to its completion, would bring the peoples of our planet together. The first faltering footsteps into that area known as space will have been a result of the unleashing of those forces contained in the atom. Friends, we are indeed privileged to present this broadcast, the first of its kind, to the citizens of this, our country. Long has it been known that within the hearts and minds of the American people exists that spark of greatness which has inspired our country to attainments thought, not too many years ago, to have been nearly impossible. Today, we are standing upon the threshold of man's first attempts to conquer distances formerly thought improbable, if not impossible. We intend to launch vehicles capable of leaving the Earth's influence and progressing outwards into space to first, it is understood, our satellite, the Moon, and then, if our attempts are successful, to the planets within our solar system, such as Venus, Mars, and Jupiter. Mankind has admitted his willingness to accept the greatest challenge ever presented in the exploration of outer space. We are informed by our authorities that certain types of life exist on many planets within our solar system. This does not mean, however, that the general thought prevails that human life such as our own exists. The reference is made primarily to forms of plant life and certain molds of a bacterial nature. It has been man's dream since the beginning of time, upon gazing into the evening heavens, to somehow bring close to his presence those little pinpoints of light sparkling in the vast distance. Now, in this our time, this age-old dream of man appears close to culmination. What do we expect to find upon our moon, or upon our journeys to Mars or Venus? Who can tell until we finally arrive? This much is known. Certain conditions upon these two planets indicate that perhaps it is possible for some form of human life and intelligence to exist in these planetary environments. Therefore, the members of our first exploratory craft to succeed in reaching these points will, no doubt, be anxiously awaited upon their return to relay to the peoples of our world what they have seen and found. Perhaps what they shall report will be of little or no consequence. And then again, perhaps they shall report the presence of intelligent life, of human beings identical to ourselves. What, under these circumstances, would we do? All manner of questions come to our minds. What would these people be like? Do they consume food the same as we? Do they have families and children? Do they occupy themselves in forms of employment? Do they have time for leisure? Do they have any concept whatsoever of what we call religion? And if so, do they believe in a God such as we? How many of you have ever stopped and asked these questions of yourself? What would I do if I were a crew member on board such a craft and these were the conditions we found upon arrival? How would I react to another form of intelligent life? How would I react? Who can tell, except those individuals so confronted with such a situation? This brings to our minds a thought of whether or not we, the inhabitants of the planet Earth, are alone in this infinitely large universe of which we are, perhaps, merely an insignificant little spot or segment. We have read, upon occasions, as our various news services have reported, that strange objects have appeared in our skies. Sometimes, it is true, we have mistakenly thought these objects to be a form of intelligently operated craft from an inhabited planet somewhere in space. Sometimes, perhaps, we may not have been mistaken. Due to the sheer enormity and weight of the many accumulated sightings of these strange objects in our skies, not only our government, but other governments throughout our world have decided that they are worthy of investigation. From the year 1947, when a tremendous number of these sightings were made, down to the present, so many of these objects have been observed that no one of a sane and intelligent mind can longer state that there is not something strange existing in the skies above our planet. It makes no real difference at this moment whether these be intelligently operated spaceships from other planets in our solar system or elsewhere, or whether they be some form of perhaps astronomical or meteorological phenomena. The mere fact remains that something definitely unusual is occurring in our skies. For a moment, let us consider what the possible implications would be if this were a form of intelligence manning some type of craft capable of traveling the vastness of space and approaching our planet. What possible reason could be behind such a visit? At the opening of this program, all of you heard the most awesome and terrifying sound ever to fall upon human ears. The sound of an atomic bomb exploding. It is well known to our science that each of these explosions release untold millions of radioactively charged particles into our atmosphere. And who can tell how much farther out into space? Let us assume for an instant that there is intelligence, say, on the planet Mars. Assume that these intelligences, in noting the sudden arrival of this strange form of radiation coming from space from the direction of a neighboring planet, might be curious enough to investigate, such as many of us will sometimes drive around the block to investigate some occurrence which arouses our curiosity. Might not this pose one explanation of their presence, the presence of the unidentified flying objects, or more commonly, the flying saucers? It would certainly be indicative to any form of intelligent life that here was a neighboring planet worthy of observation. It is well known through our own experience that many, many hundreds of years of toil, heartbreak, and struggle preceded our entry into the atomic age. It is true that we do not know at this early date of the possible ramifications involved in our use of atomic energy for either constructive or destructive purposes. We are somewhat in the position of feeling our way along a dark corridor after the sudden disappearance of our electric light. Yet at the far end of the hallway, through an open door, we detect a glimmer of light, and so we stumble on, perhaps injuring ourselves and giving vent rather freely to our feelings. We manage to reach the end of the corridor and the light. With the opening of this portal and our emergence into the light, we find that once again, we can take a new look into our frightening situation. We are no longer fumbling. Now, we understand. Perhaps, my friends, we're in that category in this our present day. To the minds of thinking men and women who are the inhabitants of this, our planet, would it be too great a shock to comprehend that in the vastness of space, there could be other forms of intelligence or life? it would indeed be a credit to ourselves, our country, and our race if we could accept these things. For someday, friends, this could well be a possibility. We would then have to reenact the drama of the past few minutes in reality. We have assumed a lot of things in our talk. The existence of intelligences in our solar system, our universe. The existence of what is commonly known as flying saucers. Along with many other things, we have assumed that a degree of curiosity is present, not only in ourselves, but perhaps in the minds of those on other planets. Let us ponder on these thoughts for the present.
On our next broadcast, Galaxy will present a discourse by Monka. This event will be the first occasion in this series when the speech qualities of one from outer space will be reproduced. May we state at this time that the object of Galaxy is to portray the true picture of our space friends. We believe their message to the people of Earth is timely. We believe you too will appreciate their information and their wisdom. Monka's subject is titled Methods of Communication Between Earth and Space Beings.